So Jesus heals 10 lepers. One of them comes back to say thank you. The other 9 go on their merry way, apparently as if nothing happened. Which one are you like? Well, it depends on the day, frankly. It depends on what's going on and what the next shiny thing in front of our face might be. Now, in our time, we treat leprosy with antibiotics, and we know that we should stay away from armadillos because they're the only animal that carries them. Aren't you glad you don't live in Texas? Now, back then, leprosy was a hideous, awful disease with no cure. Leprosy causes your body to gradually rot from the outside, and you would lose fingers and toes and other extremities. If you had leprosy, you were an outcast. So if anybody approached you, you had to shout out, unclean, unclean, which is why in our story today, the lepers call out to Jesus from a distance. Okay? Jesus, have mercy on us. Just don't come too close. If you had leprosy, nobody could come near you. You'd become a beggar. You'd be dependent upon the mercy of others. You could not be with your family. You would be kicked out of your village. You couldn't go to the market if you were very, very lucky. Family members or friends might leave jars of water and food for you outside the village walls. It was an isolating, lonely, disparaging, slow, painful death. No hope. Now imagine what it would be like to be healed of that. Not only was the awful body-eating disease gone, but if you were healed, you could be restored to your family and to your friends, the people you loved. You literally got your life back. Who would not be grateful? Who would not take the time to go and thank Jesus? Jesus heals 10. One said thanks. What prevents us from being thankful? Well, it has become more and more common to assume that God is there to serve us. Kind of a genie in a bottle theology. I ask for what I want, then God is supposed to deliver it for me on my terms and on my schedule, by the way. I know a person who said they prayed and prayed and prayed for God to bring about a particular change in their spouse. Good luck with that one. Oh, I see head shaking. You know this story. Okay. Well, it didn't happen. Surprise. And then this person's all disappointed in God. So does that mean God doesn't answer our prayers? What if it means that God isn't going to change other people to suit our check? Truth is, God is not there to serve us. Jesus did not come so we could get what we want when we want it. But there's part of us that still likes to focus on the victory and the triumph. All Easter, no Good Friday. No suffering, denial, crucifixion, and death, all the emphasis on resurrection. But since we live in a cause and effect world, it is easy to assume that Jesus must work the same way. If we believe certain things and say the right words and ask the right way, we can get what we want. Sometimes we will even misquote Jesus to say, "Ask whatever you ask in my name, I will give to you." Oh, good. I'd like $1 million. This week, I wanted a new transmission for my truck. Not $1 million, but it felt like it when I got the bill. Okay? Funny, God, the transmission shop did. How about that? You see, we forget to put those words in context. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name. Okay? What that means in a way that is consistent with the way of what Jesus teaches, of sacrifice and serving. Now, in our time, we do not face hideous things like leprosy. We are not falling apart on the outside, but sometimes we might feel like we're falling apart on the inside. It just doesn't show on the outside. It's not so much a skin disease as it is a soul disease. A disease of pain in our hearts, shame in our souls, feeling dirty or guilty. We all have things inside of us we don't want anybody to find out about. And I'm not talking about our emails getting put online, WikiLeaks. I'm talking about the things we think and don't say. I'm talking about those times we hang on to grudges and wish people ill. It's things, the way we have become a disappointment to ourselves, how we have hurt others, sometimes becoming somebody we don't want to be. For some of us, it's not so much guilt over what we've done wrong, but maybe the impact of letting ourselves be defined by the world around us, living without a center, getting rid of our moral compass, not worrying about doing something wrong, but worrying about getting caught. For ourselves, clinging to greed and selfishness, as if it's a virtue. Or it might be that time when at long last we see or feel the suffering of others and we realize that we may not lose fingers to it, but it eats at us. And it's not like being eaten by a lion or an alligator. Oh, it's like being eaten by piranhas. Hundreds of tiny little bites at a time, and each one of them hurts. There's all kinds of ways we end up feeling guilty or ashamed or sometimes worse, indifferent. And that's the other disease of the soul. Things we're not even aware of. The things we justify and rationalize. Things that we pretend are good. It's what lies behind things like greed, racism, ageism, hate or judgment of anybody who is different from us. And this disease of greed and its influence, feeling entitled to what we have and striking out at anything or anyone might threaten it. So yeah, the ways we need healing may not show much on the outside, at least not on our skin, but they lurk inside of us, leaving us torn, disappointed, guilty, sometimes even feeling ashamed. So yes, we need healing from the things that are eating us from the inside. And the other difference between that and leprosy is, if you got leprosy, you know it. Just look. Okay? And if you're healed, you know it. Just look. But the things that are eating us on the inside, our selfishness and guilt, the ways we feel ashamed, the ways we feel indifferent, we may not know we have been healed, or we might not think we need to be healed. In simple terms, we are not going to feel grateful if we don't know if we have been healed, and we certainly will not feel grateful if we don't think we need to be healed. So what do? Well, we go back to our confession. We say these words out loud. You call us to serve. You send us to the hopeless, and we are reluctant to leave our own lives. You feed us, God, with peace and joy while we sit around our own tables. Yeah. But we don't stop with confession. We start with confession. Then we hear the promise of God's forgiveness. God does not want to punish us. God wants to set us free, to forgive us from our sins, and get this, our sinfulness. The ways in which we pretend we are God, the ways in which we pretend we don't need God, that's our sinfulness. God wants to set us free from our guilt and even our feelings of shame. Jesus promises us healing, not so much for our bodies, but for the ways we are rotting from within, the ways we are being eaten one small bite at a time, the ways we hang on to guilt or regret or our certainty that we're right. Jesus heals. Jesus healed 10 lepers. One was grateful. There's way more than 10 of us here right now. Jesus heals you all. Jesus heals all of us. Are we grateful? If so, how do we show it? Well, we start with words. Thank you. And We are sent to bring peace. So we are sent to feed the hungry, to embrace the brokenhearted, to visit the sick and those in prison, and to walk gently in this, practicing aggressive forgiveness of love. To embody Jesus to others, you Christians, you little Christs, you are sent, forgiven, you're freed, and you're sent to heal and restore.